Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's good. Hey, so privileged to be up here. I wanted to first and foremost thank just our senior leaders, Pastor Juergen and Leanne. Can we give them a round of applause? I know they're not here, but if you're watching, really none of us would be here without them. And so they made a choice to literally go from their country to this country. And the sacrifice that they did, the price that they paid is just incredible. So I know my wife and I are just forever touched because of them. Also, I want to thank Pastor John and Becky Heinrichs, who are also not here. They are incredible people. We love them. We love supporting them in any way possible. They really, truly are a gem here in San Diego. And just encourage you guys, lean into them, support them in whatever way that you can. And there's also just the leadership, all you guys on staff. And you guys are just truly awesome. Thank you, Pastor Charles and Tessa. You guys are amazing. Looking good. You just tore it up at the 8:30 and the 10. I got the privilege to hear that. That's incredible. So you definitely set the stage for today. And one last person I want to honor is my wife, actually. Wow. I love you, number one. You gave me the best, most beautiful looking girl I think I've ever seen. But you are a woman among women. And so privileged and just love you. I would not be who I am without her, for sure. So everything today, literally I have Ashley to thank for it. So she's the one that's been putting up with me for 10 years and shaving off a lot of the stuff that you guys, oh, he's so cool. It's because she made me cool. So that is her. But real quick, I wanted to address the elephant in the room. Yes, I dressed myself, so you're welcome. That was me. So I did it. I think I look really good. If you don't like the way I'm dressed, well, that's your opinion and you're wrong. So I think I look good. It's really good. The other elephant I wanted to address in the room is, why did I honor that many people from the stage? Well, I wanted to just share it. It's going to tie into my testimony, but a little bit. But I'm actually going to jump up before we throw the title. This is verse James 4:6. If we have that, James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. You see, one lesson I've learned is that honor flows while pride blocks. Honor will flow things towards your life where pride will block it from your life. And so what I've learned is why people need to honor and why we honor on this stage, because the reality is that if it wasn't for Pastor Juergen doing what he did, I wouldn't get this opportunity and you wouldn't be in this seat. So when I honor him, things will flow to us because we honor what God honors. Amen. So that's why we do that. Also, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says this. It says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Being a pastor is hard. It is tough. I'm so glad I get to clock out after today. They don't. So they get to listen to it tomorrow and continually forever, it seems like. But what they do is hard. And we should honor that. The time spent that Pastor Juergen, Pastor John, Pastor Becky, anybody that comes up on stage to deliver a word and the amount that they work for that deserves to be honored. Amen? So that's why. That's why I want to honor, because I never want something to be blocked from my life. I want the Holy Spirit here. Amen? Hey, well, did you know that there is a 1 in 64 billion chance that you can share the same fingerprint as someone else? Oh, you guys are so good. I just realized you guys are still up here. Thank you so much. They're like, oh my goodness, do we need a baby? No, you're good. Can we give a hand clap for them? Kevin, I stinking love you, buddy. I love how you get down, man. Yeah, I love it, brother. I love it. You guys are good. Thank you. But anyways, because the music was probably really, really sensitive in that moment. I'll just sort of say it again. There's a 1 in 64 billion chance that you can share the same fingerprint as somebody else. I thought that was mind-boggling. I heard that this week, and so I was like, well, I wonder what other interesting facts you can have about the human body. So I was like, well, let's look some up. Well, did you know that your nose can remember 50,000 scents? It's probably why I know KFC really well. But moving to California, it's now Popeyes, so there we go. I came to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I saw with my eyes. God delivered me. No. So here's something that's kind of disturbing. You're gonna squirm in your seats. I'm just going to let you know. Did you know that humans shed about 600,000 particles of skin every hour? In approximately 1 hour, there will be 600,000 particles of skin in your seat. You're welcome, actually. You're welcome. Well, if that wasn't enough, I actually got some more for you. The average person produces around 25,000 quarts of saliva in their lifetime. That's enough to fill 2 swimming pools. Hey, kids, we're going to take a dip today. No, thank you. For all the men in here, did you know that having excessive body hair is actually linked to higher intellect? True story. No Shave November? Come on, somebody. A smart person came up with that. All the women are like, that's disgusting. Never mind, I won't mention the hairy backs in the room. I love it. I love it. And did you know that there are more bacteria in your mouth than there are people in the world? You might be asking, why did I need to know that? It's amazing what you find on Google. That's all I really know. So just in case you were wondering, I think your mouth is more diverse than what the world is right now. So that's crazy. But anyway, the human body is definitely interesting, is it not? It's extremely interesting. It's extremely uniquely designed. There's a designer. There isn't a just a happen by chance type of thing. It is a designer. And that's what's so amazing with this. And you see, we're in a series called Accelerate. We're in a series called Accelerate. And the whole point is for you to be able to effectively and efficiently take your school, your work, your business, your ideas, your walk with God, your serving, whatever, the plan that God has for you to the next level, to, in essence, accelerate it to a higher, faster pace. Amen? Because we want to be the people in San Diego here at C3 that accomplishes all of the things that God has for us. I want to be that person. But we have to understand what are the things that can decelerate our life. We got to learn to understand that. We got to learn some things that can decelerate our life. In my years, I have learned just as the uniqueness of our bodies, the uniqueness of who we are, the 1 in 64 billion chance that someone can share your fingerprint. I've learned just as unique as that is, when you begin to carry things in your life that should not be there, it will distort the very uniqueness that you carry. So when you carry things, whether it be anger or abuse, or it be neglect, or it be fear, or it be disappointment, or it be shame, or it be depression, or anxiety, or that letdown, or that fear, whatever it is that concerns you, carry that long enough and hard enough, you will become something and you will lose the uniqueness that you were intended to carry in the earth. That's what we found out. That's what we've learned. That's what I've learned. And so today we're going to learn how to deal with those things effectively. That's why the message today that I'm bringing to you is around the subject of guiding distinctives. Guiding distinctives. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are you. We thank you that you designed us clearly, uniquely, independently of one another, God. We came and we each, every single one of us, bears your image. I thank you, God, that we're not learning to fight with you. We're learning to partner with you today, Lord God. I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you that we're more clear, more concise about what you've called us to in this city, in this time, in this hour, in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen. Well, just like any other 10-year-old boy, I was a normal boy. I broke windows with baseballs. It's pretty cool, I thought, until I got in trouble. Then it became cooler. Played with sticks. You know, you played war with your brother. Had a few of them. So I would hit them and call it the game, and that was fun. And it was like any other one. You know, greatest thing when you're 10 years old, at least for me, was chasing the girls, driving them nuts until they chased you. And then that became crazy. It was crazy. Didn't like it. So you're playing basketball with your friends, and the girls come and chase you. No bueno. No bueno. So anyways, that was me. I was normal up until about 10 years of age. And at 10 years of age, that's when my life took a drastic change. It's when my parents got divorced. Now, for the sake, and I need you to hear me, I love my family. I love them. But for the sake of honoring them, I will not disclose some certain things and details about my life, because I don't want to ever uncover them. So I'm going to honor them, but I'll tell you what has impacted me. Okay? Fair enough? We're on the same page? Okay. Now, I love my family. But the thing that you got to know as well about my family is probably like many of us together here today, is that my family didn't grow up with the best of family themselves, whether it was abuse, whether it was sexually, emotionally, or mentally. And it was learning habits of drunkenness or whatever it was. They didn't have an outlet of someone to show them. And because of that, they just simply repeated the cycle with me. And it became evident at 10 years of age, whoa, there's something seriously wrong here. So first week of school, I'm 10 years old. And it's the first week of school, and my parents sit myself and my brother at the time down, and they simply say, hey, Mom and Dad are no longer going to be Mom and Dad. They're going to be separated. We're going to be living apart. And obviously, as a 10-year-old can try to fathom this and you understand this, you're like, well, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. And all I heard was, I no longer have a mom and a dad. They're separated. Wow. And they said that, by the way, you're going to have a little brother or sister. Well, why are you splitting up then? Well, it's not your dad's baby. And so at that point, at that moment, due to the nature of the instance in that divorce, my father grew emotionally distant. And obviously, as you could tell, couldn't really deal with that situation that was. And so he became emotionally distant. At the same time, the person that my mom had the baby with, he was told his entire life he could never have a child. So in essence, my brother is a really miracle baby here because he's not supposed to be there. So, but he's there very much there. Halfway through the pregnancy, mom's getting bigger and more emotional. I'm like, Mom, no, you just said yes. And now you're saying no. She'd be like, so halfway through her pregnancy, it is December time. And we get the news. We just came back from visiting Tacoma, Washington, and we are living in Portland, Oregon at the time. We just came back and we heard the news that this person has committed suicide. What I didn't realize was he was dealing also with his own things. But you see, one thing you got to understand is this man that came into my life, my father kind of went away. He kind of stepped in. So he became an emotional, creative father figure for me. And so when he came in, I was like, I told my mother, it was like several times, like, oh, I can't wait for this guy to be my dad. I'm so excited. So he became a dad to me very quickly because all I heard was my dad left and my dad was gone. So here you go. Here's this one. And he was really emotional, taught me, you know, things to draw, was creative. And it was amazing. I loved it. But he also, he couldn't fathom the fact that this was his kid. So because of that, he committed suicide. And this was Christmas time. So from then on, Christmas time was a very hateful time for me because how could anything in this world be so good when I just lost two fathers in 6 months? That was my world. So When you take this into consideration is that by the age of 12, I now had two siblings, both of which were calling me dad. The understanding with my siblings, they didn't understand that I wasn't a brother. I was dad to them. And so this went on for a couple of years. We moved around all across the U.S. We went from one coast to the other coast, moved around. And in part, every time we moved, you know how you just, when you move, you're like, you're trying to put your roots down again? I felt like I could never do that. So as a result, I never understood who I was. And the more that time went on, the more distance went on. And so in essence, I became what I would call like a living, eating, breathing, walking amount of loss. Everything that seemed to come to me always got lost. So whether it was friendships, they would lose. It was parents, they would get lost. And so things just always got lost in my life, and I never could hold on to any one thing. So the damage that was done because of this, so by the age of 12, I am now struggling with suicide, depression, anxiety, thoughts of homosexuality, because when you don't have a man and you have two improper figures of manhood in your life, you figure, well, the only way maybe men can love me is if I didn't love a man. So I understand. I get it. So that's kind of what I was struggling with. And so for the next 4 years, it got a little bit more crazy, more situations. So we moved again across the U.S., spent some time in a homeless shelter. Mom had the other baby there. The craziest thing was about this as well is that during this whole time, men would come into our home and they would abuse my mom and they would use my mom. And I got to hear this. So the reality is that as this stuff was going on, I had my own demons to deal with. So what a lot of people don't, I guess, like to talk about, and I'll mention it because I'm, like I said, so far past it, is the reality that at nighttime, I would have visitors of a spiritual kind in my room. Now, see, I didn't know this was a real thing. I wasn't raised in church. I never went to church. So this was not anything. It's just what it was. I didn't hear anything. So I didn't know that this would be whatever it was. And so the reality was, is that I would have visitors in my room and they were of a spiritual kind. And I didn't know any different. And so they would educate me on loss, which is why I would say I became walking, breathing loss in my life. And I would listen to them and inquire of them and talk with them in the night, in the dark, in the time of my room. And I would just simply have a conversation as you and I are having one now with these demonic spirits. And they would educate me on their stuff. And that's to where the breakdown would really happen. Because the more I would get numb to this, the more I would lose myself. I would lose the uniqueness within me. And when you begin to do those things, well, it just, yeah, you begin to lose yourself. You begin to lose your uniqueness. So at this time, and the more, that's ironically, the more I listened to loss, the more I could not forgive my father. The more I listened, I couldn't forgive. So I get embodied. It's now I'm listening to demonic spirits. Now I'm getting just tormented by the same ones I'm listening to, not understanding. I'm just constantly in this cycle, constantly in this cycle. And so it's really, really, so this would go on. So this was up to age 16. By age 16, I've already kind of gone through a lot. The biggest joke in my family was how come I didn't have a girl pregnant yet. And that was the biggest joke. And so I was assumed many things because of this. But the reality was, at 16, we've been moving around. I'm finally, we rest in Tacoma, Washington. We get there. We live in this apartment complex. And the best I could tell you is I meet this gentleman named Travis Waldmer. Now, Travis, for those that know, I thought that was the funniest name ever. Travis Waldmer. But Travis, what I didn't know at the time, and I now know today, that Travis was reading his Bible. He became a Christian, was a Christian, and his biggest thing was, I want to lead someone to Christ. I want to bring them to church. I want to lead them. And I was his guinea pig. What? You guys are all clapping. It was horrible. It was horrible. So for 6 months, six long months, this guy's, hey, you want to come to church? I'm like, no. I don't go to church. I don't know what church was about. It's like, you want to come to church? And every single day. The hard part was he rode my bus, so I couldn't escape him. We lived in the same complex, and he knew where I lived. loved. Every day. Want to come to church? No. Stop asking. So finally, as any normal, sane person would do, after about the first month, I just gave him more excuses. So I think I've had in 6 months, I probably had 4 physicals. I bought 100 pairs of shoes, which if you know me, that's ludicrous in and of itself. I would never go shopping. My wife does it. Plenty of it. And so finally, I'm like, dude, listen up, bro. I'm so tired of you talking about this church thing. I'll go one time, but you got to stop talking about church. Don't ask me. I'm going to hate it. I'm never coming back. Don't ask me again. Do we have a deal? He said, deal. I was like, done. That was easy. I should have done this 5 months ago. So I get to church, right? And by this time, I am like talking with demonic spirits. I'm having levels of different things going on, all which seemed normal to me. I didn't know any alternative way by this time. And so we get to church, and actually, I loved it. Ironically, I loved it. And but I didn't give my life to Christ. I went to church for 3 straight months. Went to the service on the weekend, went to the youth group during the week. And I didn't really commit, but I was just there, you know? I was listening. And remember I was telling you that this whole time I was still talking at nighttime to the spirits. Not once did they say anything during church. Not once. Until 3 months later. Because the pastor said, he said, hey, if you want to come to know this Jesus, he's going to meet you at the altar. Which by the time I was like, is he in the back? I didn't know. I'm like, why didn't he just come out now? We'll meet him now, you know? I'm like, just come on, dude. And I'm like, I didn't know. So I'm like, hey, and I'm like preparing. Like, you understand? I'm like, I'm going to meet this guy. He's going to come from the back. So I'm like getting really nervous. I'm like, oh, I'll meet the Jesus. He's going to save my life. It's going to be awesome. Woo. So I come to the altar. So I respond. I raise my hand. I'm like, I have zero self-esteem. So me walking to the altar was just an act of God. And so I couldn't do it. I didn't value. I was suicidal. So I didn't care. And so I come to the altar and I pray the prayer and I realize there's no dude. There was this dude in front of me. And I'm like, whoa. And it was like the rest of the room disappeared. And I saw for the first time this man. I didn't know who he was, but he saw me. He saw me. That changed me. I had a man that saw me. And best thing I could say, you know how the Bible talks about the woman caught in the very act, and if you were here at Hero, we kind of saw it demonstrated. It was like I was caught in the very act. And as I'm standing there, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? This thought's like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do this. Because I prayed the prayer, but I didn't really commit yet. You know what I'm saying? Here's this man. And it was like, but these thoughts are coming up. These spirits are like, oh my goodness, I'm having this full-blown conversation thinking I'm nuts. And I'm like, they're happening. I'm like, well, you've gotten me this far. This guy sees me. You never saw me, but he does. Wow. And I was like, you guys are done. I'm going to him. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. And so needless to say, I'm like, I heard his name was Jesus, but I was like, oh, well, you must be the guy. And so I'm like, this guy that came, you met me at the altar. That's awesome. And so I was like, hey, you're the one. Yeah. And what changed me is that he saw me. Yeah. And from that moment, I was like, heck yeah, what else can you do? And so I would spend my time. Again, no one taught me these things. There wasn't some manual like, oh, do this and do that. Like, I would go home and I would tell my mom, like, hey, guess what? I met this guy named Jesus. And she's like, what for? I'm like, oh, he saved my soul. It's like, you can't be saved. I was like, well, I was. So there we go, you know? And I was excited. And so I would go into my room, and you probably saw it in the movies, but, you know, I would take the little anointing. I heard, like, there was this anointing oil or whatever, stuff in the Bible, and I'm like, canola oil. bam, I was like, I'm done. I'm done listening to the spirits. I'm done having conversations. I'm done getting numb. And so I would pray 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 hours a day, just getting to be next to the person that saw me. And I was like, this rocks. When you go your whole life and never clearly seen, and you've been neglected and you've been forgotten, and someone sees you for the first time, I'm sorry. I'll spend the rest of my days with that person all day long. I don't got to worry about it. Especially when that person is Jesus and they see you in the mess. I came with baggage, and what I love about Jesus is he saw me through it. And then March 1st happened, 2004. March 1st, 2004, 2:15 in the morning. At this point in time, I was the man of my house, still was. Men were still coming. Nothing changed other than my walk with God. Wow. That changed. Nothing. Everything else is exactly the same. Great. Except for my walk with God. Wow. The same spirit, same everything. And so anyways, by this time, it is the man of the house. I'm working full time, trying to support the family. I'm also going to school full time, and we're moving. We moved locations, and so I got very little sleep. And long story short, I fell asleep at the wheel, 2:15 in the morning. My sister was with me. She was 6. She was in the front seat. We were loaded up, car in the back full of stuff. And when I woke up, there was a Bronco through my windshield. My sister was no longer there. I couldn't find her. So I got out. I was unscathed, but my sister was buried on the bottom of the car with all the boxes covering her. And so when I opened the door, I saw my sister, and her arm was just laying there. Now, whew, so when I opened, I freaked out. I'll be honest. I lost it. I lost it. I was like, I just killed her. When you're the brother, Seth's called Dad, that hits you pretty hard. And needless to say, guys coming out, cussing me out. I'm like, dude, just call the cops. You can cuss me out later. She needs to get to the hospital. And so needless to say, by the time I get to the hospital, my mom was there before me. They're telling her, you might want to prepare for the worst. She broke her neck and could not move from the neck down. She was paralyzed. Again, pretty difficult. And at that moment, in a way I've never seen, faith got real. Now, there was no manual. There's no book. There was nothing like I just read that's just, this is what you do when you get into a car accident. It just came out. God visited me in that hospital room. He says, if you just would believe. And he said, I haven't gotten to see my sister yet, so I haven't seen the damage and what was looking, but he said, if you just would believe, I will make sure that there is not one ounce of loss from your little sister. So I got to see her for the first time, one-on-one, and I just simply believed. And I said, I prayed, I was like, you will not lose. You will not have any loss of life. You'll not lose mobility. You will live. Faith got real. 9 months later, she's dancing, praising God, worshiping, completely healed. No ounce of anything. No ounce of loss. Yeah. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And I say faith got real at that moment because Jesus got real at that moment. You see, at that moment, I realized for the very first time, I was still talking somewhat to these other spirits. I was still getting that loss. I was still seeing my mom behave. I was still going through the things with my father. Things were still happening, but the difference was I now had a name that could not lose. This name could not lose. Whether or not it's someone, a doctor telling you and your family that your sister's about to die or that she'll be paralyzed at best, a name came in that is higher than any other name. You know what I realized at that moment about this name called Jesus? You see, the one thing you got to understand about the name of Jesus is that it doesn't matter how high you can shout it or how loud you can say his name. It's not like, hey, Jesus, like that has more power than Jesus. It's not about the tone of how loud you're saying it. It determines 100% on the revelation around that name. You see, the revelation of Jesus is this. Yes, he did. He came and did all these wonderful miracles. But did you know he died?
Come on.
When's the last time we spoke to something dead and tried to get that to live? But yet Jesus was dead. And 3 days later, no more. He's not dead no more. As that result, because he gave his life and was in complete surrender to God, God gave his name, the name of Jesus, above every other name, above every other thing. And as a result, death itself cannot hold Jesus down. Oh, yeah. So this is where it gets really, really good. Because of that, when you use the name Jesus, it is also the same name that cannot be hindered. It cannot be forgotten. It cannot be taken down. It cannot be beaten. It can't. It can't. You see, the biggest thing about salvation for me was the devil was totally cool as long as I was sitting in that seat.
Wow.
He was totally fine with it.
Wow.
Not one ounce of care. Until I started to care. When I started to care, it got real. But you know what? I don't hear him anymore. I don't. The reality is, I hope there's three things you see from my story. And I'll tell you the three things I see. Because I think if you can see these three things and just simply have them in your life, I think your life story is the same. That there will be a God who clearly sees you and will not ever abandon you. So here's the first thing. See God first. Doesn't matter if it's finances, any situation you want, see God first. See Him. See him. See him first. You see, salvation isn't just a ritual thing. It's a rebirthing thing.
Come on, come on.
Salvation is a rebirth of who we are. The uniqueness that you originally carried, that God designed you, guess what happens at salvation? There it is. Uniqueness restored. You have power to fight against the very blah that happens, that the world's like, oh, everyone looks the same and acts the same. But now when you get saved, it gives you the power to be unique. And you need your uniqueness. You need that 1 in 64 billion stamp. You need it. You need it. You need it. So Isaiah 43:19 says this. It says, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. Doesn't matter where you are. You can be dry. If you're drier than a desert, still applies. Because God's not limited based upon your geographical location. All you need to do is believe. See him first. See God first. The second thing, whenever you see God, and you really see him, the way that you think begins to change. By this time in my life, like I said, at 16 years of age, the only thing I knew was how to lose stuff. Not just practical, physical. I'm talking about even me. I knew how to lose stuff. I knew how to think that way. I was trained my whole life to do this. I'm simply repeating a generational curse that was going on for eons. It just was repeating. So I had to think entirely different. But the only way I was able to do that was because I saw God first. But when I saw God first, all of a sudden he started challenging the way that I would see. I'm like, whoa. So I had to start thinking differently. He would challenge my thoughts. He would challenge my ways of thinking. And this bothered me. Come on, it would bother me because I would have to do something about it. You see, Romans 12:2 says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When you see him, you begin to think differently. And when you think differently, you begin to learn what God's will is for your life. So many people come to the altar calls and it breaks my heart because they're like, what is God's will for my life? It could be the reason why you don't know that is because you have patterns of thought that are contrary to his. You might have patterns of thought. That's all that it is. You know the great thing about a pattern of thought? Change the pattern. That's it. That's all you got to do, my friends. You just change the pattern. Just change it. What I've learned about Christianity, and you might have found this too, is that Christianity really is simply a response. You are responding no matter what you do. You're always responding. There's never a time you're not responding. Jesus says something, you got to respond. By not responding, in and of itself, is a response. You're always responding. So when you understand that his response, you're constantly responding to his voice, all you got to do is change the way you respond. You hear what I'm saying? When you begin to see God first, and then you start to get challenged in the way that you think, a third part comes, and that's acting accordingly. You gotta act accordingly, my friends. You gotta act accordingly. James chapter 2, verse 18. I learned this probably by Travis Waldman, I was telling you about. He loved the book of James, and so James always holds a special place in my heart. Travis, I love you, dude. See, James 2, verse 18 says, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. Some have faith, some have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Amen. Translation, we can truly see what you believe by what you do. A person can say, I want to be a champion all day long. I want to win all day long. I want to be the best all day long. But unless you're willing to put in the work and unless you're willing to change your patterns, you will never be the best at all. Right? You know, I'll tell you a little bit of it too about acting differently. My wife says, you know, yeah, we're crushing it right now. We're crushing it. You know what she didn't tell you? I had to change. I had to act differently, think differently. I had to see God originally, but it came down to how I would act accordingly to my thoughts. If I truly want to be number one, which we are year to date, we're number one in the state. The way that you do, I had to change. I had to change how I talked. I had to change how I thought. I had to change who I hired, how I hired. I had to change everything. Everything. What you believe will be seen by what you do. The two are connected. You can't leave one without the other. They're connected. It will happen that way. The best thing that I can say this in closing is life, man, it's not going to be fair. I want to tell you, I would love to tell you, that 16 years later following Christ, my family and I were
peachy. Best word I got. We're not. Love my family. They just don't know it. But you see, my family, there were some things that they choose to still do that would prevent me from being close to him, Jesus. So as a result, I've had to make a hard decision that until you're willing to change that, I can't be intimate with you. I had to put up boundaries. I would love to tell you they understand them, but they don't. And it's caused, honestly, things have gotten probably a little bit worse. It's not gonna change how I love them, how I respond to them, or the fact that I'm still called to honor them. Hardest part about today, I wasn't talking about a message about Jesus. It was about how do I communicate my life, but still honor them. I believe the reason why I'm up here, you know, and I can say that, it's still a little emotional in some things. I think we all can feel that because we all have a similar story. Weren't we all at one point in time not clearly seen? But aren't we now in a place whether or not, if you have not met Jesus, this is your time. But I wanted to give a moment, though, for those that are in relationship with Jesus. If you have not, there's a response lounge right over there. Please go over there. We want to meet you. This amazing Mark over here, he's doing amazing. Come to meet Jesus. That's the first thing. You need to see God first. See him first. The thing, though, that I want to lift to you guys is that, you know, for the rest of this stuff, that the biggest thing that I see as a service leader or whatever, just being in church, being a Christian, that hinders other Christians, is they stop at the way that we think. They allow thoughts, the patterns of thoughts that, oh, that's how we always done it, to override what God's pattern of thought is. So the way to get breakthrough, you gotta act out on it. Never happens because we're still thinking on it. I wanted to pray for that for people today. Because if it wasn't for me seeing God, but then after I see him to think differently, he challenges our way that we think. And because of that, we have a choice of response. So with all eyes closed, heads bowed, the reason why we do this isn't just, oh, it feels good for the pastor. No, it's because it's like, you know when you close your eyes and it's like things get real, your thoughts come back to you, they flood your head. So you can be real with yourself. Sometimes you look at other people, you can be, oh man, I hope they respond. It's about you. Let God do what he's gonna do. And here's all I wanna simply say. If you're far from God and you wanna get close to God, if you don't know God, and you want to know. And maybe you just, I need some power. I need to act. I need to change some thinking. I need some power. I need some Jesus power in how I think. And you said, you know what? If any one of those things, you're like, I just need some of that. And you want to come closer to God, I just want you to lift your hand. You can do it right now. I'm not going to count. I can see your hand. I can see it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. 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 All across this place, thank you, thank you. Even up in the back, I see you. Even up in the back, I see you. Thank you, thank you. I see you too. I see you. I see you, ma'am. I see you. Here's what we're gonna do. I just feel like God wants to do something in us, and so I'm gonna stop talking, and I'm gonna allow God himself to do something amazing. So I'm gonna invite, actually, I'm gonna invite the people here in a moment that raise your hand. We're gonna pray first. Once they pray, then the ministry team is gonna come up to the front. And if you just need some prayer, these people are gonna help you do it. They're gonna use the name of Jesus and they're gonna help get through the situation. They're gonna challenge how you think, some of you, and they're gonna even challenge how you act, some of you, some more. But let's pray first. Everyone responds, because their hands were all over the place. Can you just simply say, Dear Jesus, I recognize that you are the Son of God. You came to this earth. You did miracles. You died, but you rose again. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come, restore the uniqueness, my uniqueness, that you gave to me. I love you. Challenge how I think. Show me where I'm falling short. And help me to respond. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. So I'm going to do this. Yes, we can give a hand clap. There were so many of you. So many of you raised your hands. If you're far from God or not close to God, now is the time. But can we do this? I'm going to open it up. The people are going to probably sing and do their little thing. I don't know what you call it. Sorry, I'm not up here doing that. I love you guys. Way better at it than I am. But as they do it, the ministry team's going to come up. I would invite you. Please come. Come. The greatest thing I could ever do, was when, even though I was going through my stuff, I still walked up to the front and allowed the altar to alter me. And that's at the altar I saw Jesus. So would you do the same? As it happening, I want to let you guys know tonight, make sure you guys come back for the 5 p.m. service. We have one of the key leaders in my life, Colin Higginbottom, going to be preaching. He's the marketplace leader. Don't miss that. But even more importantly, ministry team, would you come up here? Would you guys come to the seats? Let's do this. Let's let God make some change. Let's get some breakthrough in the house. Amen. Love you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.